routines, practices, tools, apps, gadgets, all part of today's show. I'm Steve Mileto at Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and this is episode 22 with Dana Niblett, a science teacher at Dodge County High School in the great state of Georgia. I think you will find this session is filled with usable information, from suggestions and techniques for classroom management to many, many different tech ideas for the classroom. After listening, take a visit to some of the tech ideas, and I encourage you to see which ones you can add to your plans to help engage the kids. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, it would be awesome if you stopped by iTunes and left Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 a rating and a review. Wishing you the very best. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, it's Steve again, and here I am at Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and today I'm with a Dodge County High School science teacher named Dana Niblett. Dana, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Appreciate you joining us, and before we get talking, I had a chance to watch you teach just a little while ago, and what I'd like you to do first, before we get into talking about what I watched you do, how about you just tell us a little bit about you and your background?
Okay. I've been teaching for 7 years. I teach science. I went to school to be a middle school math teacher, and so my first job was in science, high school science, and I could not imagine going back to middle school because I love science. I love high school. I absolutely love what I do. Both of my parents were educators, and so I feel like I'm in the right spot. I feel like kind of, you know, it's in my genes, if you will. I knew at a young age I wanted to be a teacher, and so here I am.
Excellent. I had the pleasure of watching you work with your environmental science classes recently. Before we talk about your amazing use of technology, and I really mean amazing, something that is very obvious when you walk into your classes, you have an organizational system. I saw baskets labeled for work, files for makeup work, pockets for tardy slips, a space for a parking lot, baskets for folders, and more. Can you tell me a little bit about what I'm seeing? What is it you're doing, and what's the purpose?
One of my favorite educational people of all time is Harry Wong. And Harry Wong says that the number one problem in the classroom isn't discipline, but it's the lack of procedures and routines. And I had to learn that the hard way. My first year teaching was a disaster. And somewhere after month three, I decided, you know, something's going to have to change or I'm not going to be able to continue in this profession. So I did a lot of digging. I talked to a lot of teachers. I walked halls and I looked in classrooms where students were actually seated and they were working and they were quiet. And after the bell, the teacher could do what she wanted to because the kids listened. And I started picking the brains of those teachers. And one of the things that those teachers told me consistently was you have to be consistent. You have to have not rules, and you don't have to discipline the kids, but if you have procedures and routines, everything else follows. And so, I kind of went from classroom to classroom and wrote down things that worked for those teachers and started slowly to implement them in my own classroom. And I would say my second year as a teacher, I was completely different. I was a completely different person. I changed schools. When I walked into the classroom, my students wanted to hear what I had to say, and it was because I started to implement those procedures. Harry Wong, I did a lot of studying with his First Days of School book, and I started to implement those things that he talked about worked in classrooms. And so part of being a well-managed classroom is having a place for everything in your classroom where students know what to do. And now the first month of school, we practice procedures and routines. We do not get into any content in the first 3 weeks of school. And it's simple things like, let's practice how to raise your hand before you have a question, or let's practice the bell's gonna ring, stay in your seats, let's practice Miss Niblett dismissing class. Let's see what that looks like. And then in the science classroom, we do a lot of labs. And so several times in my first year teaching, the bell would ring and we would not be finished with a lab. We would have chemicals out, the Bunsen burner would be on, and you know, that created a danger. So I had to implement something where the students knew when it was time to leave. And so I created the "you don't dismiss" class. The bell doesn't dismiss class. Miss Niblett dismisses class.
Awesome.
And it works because you saw it in my classroom the other day that they, you know, and it works magic. Sometimes I wonder, is this really real that they listen to me? But they do a good job, and they want to please me, and it's because of those procedures and routines, and it's nothing that I've done. It's all of my ideas are completely stolen from other teachers, but it works. And so some of the things you saw, I have a parking lot board at the front of the room, and the purpose behind that parking lot board is students would ask all the time, what can we do for bonus points? And I was spending a lot of extra time explaining what kids could do for extra credit, bonus points. And so I created that parking lot board to post things. So occasionally, if we're doing a lab and I need vinegar, I'll post up on the parking lot board, bring in vinegar by Friday, and I have a ticket reward system. So they can earn tickets instead of bonus points, and they can cash in their tickets for points on a test or candy, or sometimes I'll make treats for the class, and they can cash in tickets that way. They have to pay me to go to the restroom. And so one of the things that they have to do is earn tickets to leave class.
Very nice.
And
very
so nice. That has worked, because my first year, again, I would have students, you know, in the middle of a lesson, five or six students want to leave to go to the restroom. And of course, in high school, they stay gone 30 to 40 minutes.
It's free pass. We get to wander around and do whatever we want.
Yes. Another thing that you mentioned that you saw was my tardy box, and I keep that at the front of the room. And that is just when a student comes in late to class, whether it be from another teacher's class or from the office, I don't have time to go to my computer and mark that student present. So I created the tardy box. They know that if they come to class late, they don't have to explain themselves. I just look, make sure they put that note in the box. And then at the end of the day, that's one of my routines. I go to that tardy box, and then I can mark those students present. And it doesn't take any instructional time away from the rest of the class.
Well, while you're pausing there, one of the things I wanted to make sure that I said is that, you know, when you walk into to Ms. Niblett's class, it's very obvious because you have lots of labels on things. And what's exciting about this is that a lot of times in a high school class, you don't see this type of organization. Now, nothing against my colleagues in high school. I was a high school teacher, but it's awesome because a lot of times you see this with the younger kids, and the high school kids need this too. And I think it's something that oftentimes adults forget. And I love the idea that you stole these ideas from other people, mm-hmm. Because that's really, you know, one of the best ways of learning how to be a teacher is going and visiting your colleagues and the peers and making sure you're picky and choosy on which ones you're learning from.
Yes.
So you don't learn the bad practices. But it is very obvious that you have these routines and that they know them because they follow them. I watched them do this. And just like in the class, I watched you got to the end of the class and all the laptops and tablets weren't up yet, and a couple of them started to head to the door. It's like, whoop, hey, wait a second. And they went back to the seats and waited till you said it was okay.
Yeah, that you do have to remind them. Even we're at the end of our school year, and still we've been doing this all year, and I still I have a place where they turn in makeup work if it's late. And occasionally a student will come up and say, you know, I was absent yesterday, where do I put my homework? And that's part of the labeling. It's very elementary, but I do label everything. That way, if I'm up teaching, I can just point, and it reminds them, oh, that's the makeup folder. That's where I'm supposed to put it. So even the kids comment on, Miss Niblett, you have everything labeled. What in the world? Like, we can't read. But it reminds them, and they know, there's no doubt, they know where they're supposed to turn in their papers, what period work, what period tray the work goes in, and, you know.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, a big part of it is, you know, high school kid has lots of things going on in their brain. They got all kinds of stuff going on. They got all kinds of different classes. They got everything going on. Plus, they got all the other personal stuff happening in their life. And that having those routines and those practices and knowing what goes where and having those labels helps them remember that. And that's amazing. And I got to watch that work for you. It's pretty cool because one of the things you're talking about is as a fan also of Harry Wong and helping people develop procedures and routines, you know, one of the things that happens is that he emphasizes this idea of focusing on management of the class versus discipline. And that's what you're doing is you're creating a way to manage the population of the class as opposed to getting into, you know, trying to yell and, you know, tell them get in your seats and stuff like this. You've created these procedures for them and they know them and they follow them. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other things I saw you do. When the kids entered the room, you had a bell ringer on the front board. It said, list three organisms. By the way, what age kid is this that you're working with?
The class that you visited was in environmental science, and I have a mix of 9th graders, 11th graders, and 12th graders.
Wow. So that's quite a mix. But one of the things you had up there is it said, list three organisms, plant or animal, that can be found in a freshwater ecosystem. The kids got straight to work. They were not talking or doing other things. And this is a perfect example of creating a routine. You know, the kids getting straight to work. Talk to me about your use of that bell ringer.
I am a huge fan of bell ringers. Again, this was something that I stole from a teacher in my first year teaching. I walked by during my planning period. I walked the halls and I noticed this one particular classroom, the bell had rung and within 30 seconds, the teacher was already teaching. And I thought, how in the world did she do that? So at the end of the day, I went back to her classroom and I said, how did you get the kids seated? I can't even get them in their seat when the bell rings. 30 minutes later, then maybe I can start the lesson. And she said the trick is a bell ringer. And so I don't call it a bell ringer. I call it a squad science question of the day. So the rule is, or the procedure is, that when the bell rings, you come into class, you have a seat, you have to be quiet, and you have to get started on your squad question. Otherwise, you're considered late for class. And so it took me a few weeks of sending students to the office to get a tardy before they realized she's serious about this. And I tell them, you know, I have a lot to teach you in a little bit of time, and I want you to learn. And so since they want to please me in that regard, they're willing to, they understand, hey, she's a teacher and she really wants to teach me something. And it's going to take her bell to bell to teach me what she's got to teach me. So they come in and they have a seat and they get started on that bell ringer. And the purpose of the bell ringer is it's a question. And not only is it a review question, because I review the previous lesson with the bell ringer. So it's an assessment tool, but more than that, it's for my own sanity. I can take the first 5 minutes of class and know that they're busy working, and I can take roll. I can walk around and remind a student, you're missing work. I can get my thoughts together for that day's lesson. So it's not only for them, but it's for me as well. And again, I established that procedure that you come in immediately, and when you walk through the door, you've got to be ready to learn, and they're willing to do it.
Very nice. This is a science classroom, and you have lab tables in there, which means you have cool stuff that can hurt.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed is that you have them in groups. You didn't have to spend time saying, okay, pick your partner, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. You told them to get into their lab groups, and they went. What has that done for you by having them already in these groups?
You know, I noticed, again, going back to my first year teaching, I noticed that I lost a lot of instructional time through transition periods and not having that fluid transitioning. And so we practice that. That's one of the things we practice in the first part of school. I go ahead and I get their lab groups. We change lab groups every 9 weeks, and we'll take a day to establish those lab groups. And within those lab groups, there are different roles. We'll have a secretary and a janitor and a reporter and a recorder. Usually there's 4 to a group. And they decide who's going to do what. And we do a little activity to get them acclimated to one another. You know, they kind of get that awkwardness out of the way. And that way, when we are ready to start a lab or an activity like you saw, all I have to do is say, get in your lab groups. And it takes maybe 60 seconds for them to get there. So, you know, transitions are important, and not losing instructional time to those transitions. And, you know, it takes practice, but it works.
It sure does. That day was a perfect example of it, because you said, get to your lab groups, and boom, 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 they were there, and you're able to give instructions, and they started working on what they needed to do with just a few reminders. So awesome job. Well, let's shift gears now from classroom management to technology in your classes. You had kids using tablets and something called Padlet.com. You use Prezi, and you have the kids creating websites at Weebly.com. You referenced YouTube clips, and there were QR codes everywhere. You also have a smart board, and you know, the technology was everywhere in the room, and you were using it in a manner in which it's supposed to be used. A lot of times there's technology in a classroom, and the only one who uses it is the teacher. And instead, in your classroom, you have the kids using the technology, using it for the subject. It's not just in the hands of the teacher. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit about your thoughts about using technology to engage kids.
Technology is ingrained in our youth, and you know, they use a lot of times in the classroom, we use technology to search the internet, basically. And I feel like as teachers, we kind of have to get out of our comfort zone a little bit and you know, get with the times. Our students have smartphones, they can instant message, they can make movies and then post them on YouTube, and they know how to do all of this stuff, and they love it. And so what I have found with my own classroom is, when you give the students the opportunity to show what they can do with technology, me as a teacher, I don't have to know very much about technology. The students teach me. And so I kind of come with that approach that I don't know a whole lot about technology. I know how to use a computer. I can use a smart board. I can use a digital camera. But I ask the students, what can you do at the beginning of the year? And when I have a student in a class that says, well, I can make a movie, then I remember that. And at some point during the year, you know, we will have a day where students take and make a movie on, you know, an ecosystem. And so they're able to use that, and it motivates our students, which is something that, you know, high school students lack anyway. And I'm sure all grade levels lack motivation. But when they can use technology, something that they use in their everyday life, it excites them. They want to come to the classroom that day because they know we're going to use some of the tools we're going to use. And one of the things that we have at our school is we have a cart with 10 iPads. And, you know, when we first got 10 iPads, I thought, what in the world? I'm thankful for the iPads, but what can we do with 10? Because I have classes with 35 students. And it has worked out perfect, those 10 iPads, because they share. QR codes is something that you mentioned. And we had done a QR code activity the day before you came, so I still had the QR codes up on the wall in the classroom, and they love it. And you know, it's a trick. All it is I went to google.com and I typed in QR code generator, and I typed in a website that I wanted them to go to. So I had a list of 10 questions, just standard questions that I wanted them to know the answer to. And then it became a research activity, sort of a scavenger hunt. And so in order to find the answers to those questions, they had to scan the QR code. It took them to a website, and they had to search for the answer. Now, in the traditional classroom, this would be done with a textbook. You look in the book, you find the answer. But because they got to incorporate something that they weren't, not a lot of people were familiar with QR codes, even my students, and so it excited them because they had seen them on cereal boxes, but they didn't quite know what they were. And so I found that the students wanted to answer questions if I just threw in a QR code.
Excellent. And it was obvious. You actually had to remind some of them that the QR code part of this lab came after they did something else, because they wanted to go up there and real quick get the QR code. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think is neat, because what you're showing them is exactly, it transfers into the real world with their smartphones and a QR code reader. where they could go into the stores and click on the QR codes and get the coupons, or go to the website to learn more about the whatever that device is, or whatever the object is that they're looking at. But that's cool, because it is doing exactly what you said, which is making them excited about using a technology, mm-hmm. which is something that they run into. Let's talk a little bit more about one of the other pieces that I mentioned already, is that you were using a freeware called Padlet.com. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Now, I'm fairly new to Padlet. This was the second time that I had used it, but I go to a conference every year called, in Georgia. It's the Georgia Technology Conference.
Okay.
And, you know, when I was made to go by our district, and initially I thought, a technology conference, how boring. But when I got there, that is the best conference that I have ever been to. I learned so much, because it's classroom teachers saying, this is what we use in our classroom and this is what works for us. And so I came back with so many ideas. I'm not good with technology, but I felt like I could do anything when I left that conference. Neat. And I had so many ideas, and I came back. And the thing about technology is, if you just incorporate a little at a time, it works. And so that's what I did. I came back. I went to this conference in November, and I came back, and Padlet.com was part of the conference. Somebody presented. And basically, it's just a free software that allows you to, it's just a sticky note. And so I love Post-it notes. I use Post-it notes a lot in my classroom for assessment purposes. And so Padlet.com allows me to do digital sticky notes. And so a lot of teachers are familiar with a ticket out the door assignment.
Yes.
To assess learning. And I use that a lot, but it kind of bores the students. So I thought, well, I'll just do a ticket out the door, but digital style. And so I went to Padlet.com, got a free account, and basically all they had to do was get a colored sticky note from the site, and I put a prompt, a question up, and they answered the question, and it's still there. It's a live feed, so all the students could see it, and they can even go back, now that we're ending that unit, they can go back and make changes if they thought that, you know, they answered the question incorrectly.
Very nice. I know. I watched them using that, and they were excited about being able to see as they wrote their little note, and bloop, mm-hmm. it popped up on the screen. And
because it was broadcasted for the whole class to see, they took a lot of time and put a lot of thought into their wording. I make them use complete sentences, and I tell them, you have to write like a scientist. And so, you know, they don't always do that if it's just me grading a paper. And so when it was broadcasted for the whole class to see, they took a little bit more time.
Very nice. Yeah. And it was obvious, too. They wanted to have it just right up there. Mm-hmm. Let's shift to, how about, you were using YouTube clips. Talk about that a little bit. Because as a note, one of the things I think is cool is that YouTube is something that the kids are very familiar with, but generally use it not for real educational purposes. And mm-hmm. It's one of those tools that I think is neat when a teacher can show them many educational purposes for.
You know, I use YouTube in my own life. For example, the other day I couldn't work my remote control. And I knew it was something simple, so I just got on YouTube and typed in the problem I was having, and
up came
a video. And so, you know, when we can, a lot of times I try to be an exciting teacher and I try to keep the kids interested, but sometimes a YouTube video can just do it better. And so I've embraced that, and I use YouTube clips a lot for several purposes. I used YouTube clips to introduce lessons, introduce concepts. I use it for instruction, and I use it for review. Now, the key is, these are YouTube clips. They are not movies. And so, you know, I'm quick to say that, because I never want to be the teacher that just pops in a video and just lets the kids do whatever. But now I do use YouTube clips a lot in my own classroom, and I really think the kids benefit from seeing that animation and just seeing a different take on it, even if it's a professor talking about, you know, something in ecology, just hearing a different take on it, where it doesn't come from me, just kind of provides the students with a little something extra.
Well, I think what's awesome is that most of them are just exactly that. They're clips as opposed to, I mean, now granted, I mean, you can find where people have gone in and taken a whole series of Game of Thrones or something like this and put it all out there. But in the case for educational purposes, people have created little clips, animated different activities where they're talking about if it's not exactly what you're wanting, something close to it, and everything from, you know, it's funny. I've gone just like what you were describing before, and I think kids sometimes don't realize the power of YouTube. For example, I needed to change the a brake light in my wife's van, and trying to get the whole piece off that's the part of the light, the lens itself, was like, how do you do this? You know, there's no way you can reach across, like in the back of my car, you go in through the trunk and there's a little, and so I went on, put the year of my wife's car into YouTube, and boom, wouldn't you know it, there's some guy going, hey, these seem like they're difficult, but it's really easy. And then he goes, you just have to push a little hard right here, boom, and it pops out. And sure enough, I was able to change it in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there's any number of things like that that you can find on YouTube. And whether it's you got to really get into geek mode, and I was trying to figure out how to help somebody who an LCD projector wouldn't talk to an Apple laptop, whatever they're called. And I was like, now I know this works. And we had the little cord that works and all this sort of stuff. And wouldn't you know it, there's an explanation, because the type of LCD projector that we had actually is notorious for not wanting to talk to an Apple. And there's a little button you push here and a little thing you do here, and boom, it worked. I looked like I knew what I was doing thanks to YouTube. And I think that type of information, when you're using it in the classroom, one of the things that's happening with the kids is they're going, wow, this cool thing that I use for, you know, all this other stuff, it actually can help me in learning. Mm-hmm. And you're using it that way. One of the things, this leads me into talking about something you started mentioning about the kids creating digital portfolios. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Sure. And this is new. I decided to try this year. We go to a website called Weebly.com, and each student at the beginning of the year creates their own individual account. And we, you know, that's part of that first month of school. Everybody gets an account. We get transitioned into using that site. I let them kind of create their own avatar on the site, and they can kind of play with it and see how it works. And then after every unit, they are supposed to prove to me that they learned something in that unit. And so throughout the unit, they take pictures. We have 7 digital cameras in our classroom, and they get those cameras, and they're numbered by lab station. Again, one of those labeling issues, but they get that camera, and for that 9 weeks, that's their camera, and they take as many pictures as they want to of them doing labs and activities and worksheets. And then they sift through those digital pictures at the end of a unit, and then they choose what they thought in that unit, what activity or strategy or worksheet help them learn the content. And it's standards based, so they have to go to the standard, read the standard, unpack the standard, and figure out what is it that I was supposed to learn in this unit. And then they move to their pictures, and they decide which activity helped them learn that standard. And so they go to their Weebly account, and they have to create a page for each standard, and then they have to provide evidence that they learned that standard. And so this has been an ongoing assessment. It'll be a summative assessment at the end of the year, and it will count 20% of their final average. And we take 3 days at the end of every unit to update those Weebly accounts. And the students, you know, at first they complained, why do we have to do this? Can't we just take a test, a paper pencil test? But, you know, now I'm starting to find that when we do a lab, they'll remind me, Miss Niblett, we've got to get the cameras because we've got to take a picture of this. And one of the activities that we just finished was we created a garden. We were talking about sustainability in environmental science, and we created a garden. And this was a huge project they really loved, and I forgot to take pictures of it. And so this was something that they all wanted to put in the standard for sustainability. the kids reminded me that that was a standard that they were excited about, proving to me that they mastered because they had done that garden project. And so I find that they're warming up to the idea of that summative assessment.
Excellent. By the way, as a note, the gardens are awesome. Glad you showed those to me, where they've actually built raised gardens, and talk about hands-on learning experiences to do that. And also the excitement of watching what they plant take off and grow.
Yes.
One of the things that before we're kind of getting towards the end here, one of the things, just another one that you mentioned to me was trying to incorporate something called, I believe, VoiceThread. Mm-hmm. Could you just mention a little bit about what your thoughts were about using that, what it is, and what you're thinking mm-hmm. about?
VoiceThread is what I call a souped-up PowerPoint, and it's voicethread.com is the website. It's a free, you can create a free account, and it's something that we use in my classroom at least once a year. I use it with every course that I teach. And basically, it's just a PowerPoint presentation. They have to create one, but it's called VoiceThread because they have to put their voice behind it. So it's sort of where podcast meets PowerPoint.
Okay.
And so they have to come up with what they want to say, and I use it to, you know, as an assessment tool. Show me what you learned. Put it in the form of several pictures and tell me what you learned in the VoiceThread, and make it 3 to 5 slides, and make sure everybody in your lab group talks and say your name before you tell me what you learned, and boom, it's done. And it's quick, and they can figure out how to use it. I don't have to go step by step into, you got to press this button and you got to, this is how you upload, because they know how to do it, especially if I have them work in their lab groups. And so that's just another way that we can incorporate technology, and it's an easy account to use.
As we're getting close to wrapping up, tell me what you like most and least about teaching and using technology with the kids.
Most, I like that my students want more. They say, you know, when are we gonna, this is really cool, we've never used VoiceThread or Padlet. When are we gonna do something else? And they're always excited. I feel like they are anyway. You know, when they come in the room, they, what are we going to do today? And I get a lot out of that as a teacher. That's why I do what I do. Now, the negative side is it's technology, and there are glitches. There are things that I can't do. And I have to show the students I'm human. Like yesterday, I showed a video clip on YouTube to introduce my lesson. It was vital that they saw this video clip, and I could not get it to load. And so my whole lesson was geared towards this 30-second video clip, but I could not make it work. And so, you know, I had to go on to plan B. But, you know, it's technology, and that happens.
That it does. That would be the most frustrating thing. Been there, done that. You go to show something, and wouldn't you know it, the good old buffering thing comes up, and it's like buffering. It's like, I'm going to buffer you at work.
It did finally work sixth period, but
nice.
The
all
end
right.
of the day.
The end of the day, we get it to work. That's good. And you know, then there's always those technology things like the phone going off when it's nothing like, gotta love it. Well, thank you. Is there one thing that you would want a listener to remember about our talk today? If there is, what would it be?
Well, on the note of classroom management, it is extremely important for students to have consistency, and routines are part of being consistent. And, you know, I feel like if anybody out there listening could take away one thing as a teacher, it would be, if you haven't already implemented procedures and routines, think about doing that, because the kids benefit from it, and not only the kids, but the teacher as well. And then on the note of technology, you know, technology can be really scary. And I know a lot of my own coworkers say, you know, it's great you use technology, but I just don't know about it. I'm scared of it. I don't know how it works. But if you'll just take one thing, talk to a teacher. What is it that you use in your classroom technology-wise? And take one thing and try to implement it per year. You know, by year 5, you've got a plethora of tools that you can use. And so I guess what I want to say is, don't be scared to use technology. It is wonderful, and the kids need that.
Awesome. I know what you mean, and you know, this will date me a little bit, but I'll never forget when a school I was in outfitted everybody with the similar types of technology. And so we went from having a mishmash of different types of computers to suddenly everyone had the latest, greatest, most powerful one. And one of my colleagues said, you know, I haven't really even turned it on yet. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then you go from a gentleman like that, yes, to the other end of the extreme where using everything and can't get enough and trying this, that, and the other. And that was then. Today, you know, just the amount that's out there is just amazing. And I love your advice, which is, you know, just give it a shot.
It's fun to try, yeah.
Exactly.
Can't hurt anything.
Give it a shot. And the great thing is that the kids are very forgiving when you can't figure it out.
And, you know, a lot of times the kids will help you figure it out.
You got that right. So with that being said, do you have a favorite resource that you could send our listeners to for support for using technology in the classroom?
You know, I tried I sat down and I knew we would be talking about this, and I tried to make a list of the things that the websites that I use, and there were just too many. But, you know, I found most of these by just a simple Google search. I want to do an online sticky note activity, and it came up, Padlet.com, or
awesome.
You know, VoiceThread. I found it by accident. So Google has been my friend. I love YouTube. I follow on Pinterest a guy named Tony Vincent.
Very nice.
And Tony Vincent's he has a program called Learning in Hand, and I get a lot of my activities and technology use ideas from him.
Excellent. Thank you. And you notice, I got to put in a plug because you mentioned it. Pinterest is amazing what teachers and educators mm-hmm. have put out there for free use. And I just got to create those boards and find it. And it's amazing what is out there to help you in the classroom.
Right.
So I'm glad that that's awesome that you use that. And that was, you said his name is Tony Vincent?
Tony Vincent. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. By the way, that was the bell telling us that class is changing. And so I guess it's reminding me that I need to finish up here. So Dana, what I'd like you to do in closing is I have one more question, and I'd like you to think back to when you were in school. Do you have a teacher who you would thank if you could, and why?
Absolutely. Miss Kathy Bell was my 12th grade lit teacher. And it's funny that we've talked about technology, because she was that was the first smart board I saw. And now this was when smart boards
cool.
came on wheels and you wheeled it into the classroom and you had to touch it really hard with your whole hand if you wanted it to do something. But she was very innovative as a teacher. And not only did she teach me literature, but she taught me a lot of life lessons, how to venture out. And I would thank her. She is the reason why I became a teacher, and I try to model my own teaching practices after her.
Well, Dana, thank you very much for joining us today. Have an awesome end of the year. You're almost there.
It's, yes.
I know the kids are getting real excited. I greatly appreciate your time and allow me to come in and visit as well as talk with you today.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Thank you very much.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching Learning Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.